spaniel, finding comfort in the feel of his round, warm head.
"Well, Maya, we have good news,"
said Miss Banks. A frightening woman to many, now in her 60s, with an amazing bust, which would have done splendidly on the prow of a sailing ship, she smiled at the girl standing in front of her. A clever child and a brave one, who had fought hard to overcome the devastating blow of her parents' death in a train crash in Egypt 2 years earlier. The staff knew how Maya had wept night after night under her pillow, trying not to wake her friends. If good fortune was to come her way, there was no one who deserved it more.
"We have found your relatives,"
Miss Banks went on. "And will they—" Maya began, but she could not finish. Mr. Murray now took over.
"They are willing to give you a home."
Maya took a deep breath. A home? She had spent her holidays for the past 2 years in the school. Everyone was friendly and kind, but a home.
"Not only that," said Miss Emily, "but it turns out that the Carters have twin daughters about your age."
She smiled broadly and nodded, as though she herself had arranged the birth of twins for Maya's benefit. Mr. Murray patted a large folder on his knee.
"As you know, we have been searching for a long time for anyone related to your late father. We knew that there was a second cousin, Mr. Clifford Carter, but all efforts to trace him failed until 2 months ago, when we heard that he had emigrated 6 years earlier. He had left England with his family."
"So, where is he now?" Maya asked.
There was a moment of silence. It was as though the good news had now run out, and Mr. Murray looked solemn and cleared his throat.
"He is living, the Carters are living, on the Amazon."
"In South America, in Brazil,"
put in Miss Banks. Maya lifted her head.
"On the Amazon," she said. "In the jungle, do you mean?"
"Not exactly. Mr. Carter is a rubber planter. He has a house on the river, not far from the city of Manaus. It is a perfectly civilized place. I have, of course, arranged for the consul out there to visit it. He knows the family, and they are very respectable."
There was a pause.
"I thought you would wish me to make a regular payment to the Carters for your keep and your schooling. As you know, your father left you well provided for."
"Yes, of course. I would like that. I would like to pay my share."
But Maya was not thinking of her money. She was thinking of the Amazon, of rivers full of leeches, of dark forests with hostile Indians with blowpipes and nameless insects which burrowed into flesh. How could she live there? And to give herself courage, she said,
"What are they called?"
"Who?"
The old man was still wondering about the arrangements he had made with Mr. Carter. Had he offered too much for Maya's keep?
"The twins. What are the names of the twins?"
"Beatrice and Gwendolyn," said Emily. "They have written you a note."
And she handed Maya a single sheet of paper. "Dear Maya," the girls had written, "we hope you will come and live with us. We think it would be nice." Maya saw them as she read. Fair and curly-haired and pretty. Everything she longed to be and wasn't. If they could live in the jungle, so could she.
"When do I go?"
she asked.